grace, mercy, and peace of God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there are few more profound and important passages in Holy Scriptures than the one which stands before us as the text for our evening meditation, and that's from the epistle that we read. And this is not a gospel text in the sense that it lays Christ and his sacrifice on our behalf before us, and nor is it a law text in the sense that it gives us rules for living or a pattern of holiness. We can find both law and gospel here in this text. But the importance of these words is that they set before us the reality of our lives. It really is. It's about the struggle of the Christian faith. And they prescribe how we must approach these things if we are to endure. Our only hope and our greatest defense, in the words of our theme this evening, is the full armor of God. I love this text. The basic thing about this text that we need to understand, that we are called to live in the strength of His might, of God's might, not ours. That means that just as we could not choose to be a Christian, but God had to choose us and change us and make us His own, just so, we are not adequate to face the challenges of the life in Christ by our own power, you see. Our only hope is that we live this life by God's power and protected by the gifts that God gives to us. That's why we gather to praise Him. And He gives us the full armor of God. Paul begins by telling us, he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now it might sound strange, but you grow stronger in the Lord by growing weaker in yourself. How many times have you heard you need to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps? Strength in the Lord is faith in Him. And it requires a considerable loss of confidence in your own fitness and your own abilities. That reality makes this sort of a strength challenging for a sinful man. And it's particularly hard for those of us who fancy ourselves to be rather self-sufficient. I know a couple of people off the top of my head that seem to feel that way. Like about 99.9% of our congregation. To grow stronger in the Lord, you have to humble yourself. And you have to learn what God says about the battle that we're about to fight. And you have to know about the enemy that we're about to confront. You need to face the uncomfortable truth that you simply are not up to this battle all by yourself. You need to face the uncomfortable truth that the enemy is overwhelmingly powerful, and your only real hope in all of this is the strength and the might of God Almighty. And your only safety, our only safety in all of this battle that's going on, is the protection afforded us by the armor of God. Once you understand that reality, you are ready to put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Without that armor, you won't be able to stand. And many Christians have fallen long before, and even in this present day. Of course, all of us, we will all be faced with temptation or the schemes of the devil. It's what they are. Which is why we all need to be prepared. And the first thing we must understand if we're going to be prepared in this life, That means our enemy is always the devil. Since our enemy is the devil and we are at war, however it may look and feel like to us, you know, because it's going to feel different to each and every one of us. We may not experience the same feelings or the same temptations, but we'll all be addressed. We will all be tempted. And since the conflict is spiritual in nature anyways, we need the full armor of God. And Paul tells us to put it on. He says, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. You put this armor on by faith, which is to say by knowing the word of God and trusting in God's promises. The only way you can put on the armor of God is to be in the word of God, deeply in his word, until it is your constant companion and guiding light. It says, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with the truth. These words echo Isaiah 11, verse 5. The words to gird means to equip, to prepare for action. You must equip yourself. You must equip yourself with the truth. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Since our enemy is the father of lies and the great deceiver, we must be girded in this truth. We must put it on and equip ourselves to be ready to answer the lies and the deceptions of the evil one. And the truth that you need most, the truth that we need to harbor and keep within us the most, is the gospel of love. That love of God and the forgiveness of your sins. You see, forgiveness is, it's the biggest thing. It can't be emphasized enough in the church how our sins are forgiven us. And without that truth about the love of God, you're practically standing there naked before the wiles of the devil. Next, we need to be prepared by having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, an essential part of the armor of a soldier was the breastplate. It protected the heart and therefore the life of the soldier against the swords and the arrows of the enemy. You had to strike around it because you could not cut through it, not in the heat of the battle. And it just isn't physically, you've got to come around the side, and it doesn't work that way. Straight on, the way they lunge at one another. That's the way the devil does it. He comes straight at you. The righteousness of Christ is our breastplate. It protects us from sin and death. It is the answer of God to the accusations of the devil, whose title, did you know this, that the devil, you know what that word means? Devil means an accuser. It is the answer of God to the accusations of the devil. He'll accuse us of sin. He will accuse us of weaknesses. He will accuse us of deserving death and damnation all along with him. How many of you have ever sat there and thought, I'm not worthy of this? I'm not worthy of the grace of God. That's the devil at work within your thoughts, trying to convince you that you aren't, when in fact you are all indeed children of God. See, we stand empty-handed. just as he has judged his son by our guilt and sin. That's our breastplate, Christ's righteousness. You know, if you think about, you know, we often talk about, oh, when I get up there to those pearly gates and St. Peter's standing there and he's going to ask me, why should I let you in? Not by your righteousness, but by Christ. Then we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How did armies get around in the day that this was written? How did the armies travel? They traveled by foot. And how could this army do if they traveled all over the place without good shoes on? Since the beginning of time, since man started to put something on his foot to protect it against the elements, an army has had to have good leather, good shoes on to protect them. If your feet weren't working, you were useless as a soldier. That was true of armies in the ancient world, and that's how they had to get around, by foot. So we are prepared for the field of battle with the footwear of the gospel of peace. God is at peace with us, and we are at peace with God. And we are at peace with one another. Our sins are forgiven. So we know that whatever rocks and sharp things that might be in our path, especially in this spiritual battle, there's going to be raw, jagged glass in our pathway. We have on our feet the gospel of peace, and we are to be at peace with one another. Then we take up the shield of faith. What's a shield do? That's held out here. It's held out to throw off the arrows and the spears and the swords. Trust in God and in His promises can extinguish all the flaming arrows of doubt, of guilt, and all that fear that the devil can throw against us. With such faith we can shout, if God is for us, who can be against us? Not a question. The answer to that rhetorical question is, as St. Paul intended for us to understand, no one. No one can be against us. No one can stand against the people of God effectively, for God is our power and our protection. We also wear the helmet of salvation, which keeps us in every circumstance in contact with our head, namely Christ. And always aware that for us the battle is already won. And we have salvation awaiting, and the victory is ours in Jesus Christ, no matter what the momentary outcome might seem to be. Finally, pick up the sword. Our weapon. This is the weapon that we carry for this battle. It is the Word of God. Our battles are not fought with fists and bullets. They are not properly fought with parliamentary procedure and bylaw changes, nor are they conducted by political correctness. They are fought with the Word of God. Saw a deal on the news just last night about that clerk who refuses to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And it was so deep that all the news stations showed her standing firm, and the fella asked her, by what authority are you not issuing marriage licenses? She said, by God's authority. With the Word of God, we rescue those who have been long enslaved. fear in this world. Things such as terrorism, persecution, wars, false doctrine, and even the hatred of the world for those who love us are Christian. All of this, it's a spiritual battle with evil forces. Demonic, devilish forces. It's what it is. So this battle is not ours to fight. Oh, we participate. But the battle is God's, and the victory is His. And we are to fight with His strength and His weapons and His weapons. We also need to remember that we are not called on to win this battle or to feel victorious, but we're to be faithful and stand the ground God has given us to stand on and fight the battle before us. To fight and survive, we must be armed with the Word of God, which we can only do by knowing it. We can put on the gospel armor by studying the Word and by listening to it. That means regular attendance to church, faithful participation in worship and Bible study. And of course, some will say, well, I can study on my own. They don't need a formal Bible study at church. So, and I've been asked this question. Well, Pastor, can't I study on my own? Well, yes, you can. But the real answer or the real question is, will you? God has given us the armor and He has given us the weapons for the battle. If we are His, we will not be able to avoid the battle.